Well, good morning, everyone. If you're brand new, my name is Andrew, and I'm one of the pastors here at Bethany. And I want to begin by just sharing a little bit about me and who I am. That I am someone, as many of you would know from my sermons, who struggles with anxiety, parking, insecurity over things, overthinking things, and worrying what other people think about me. This is something that's kind of a part of my life on a daily basis. And this is what I want to talk about here today. And no, I don't want to specifically talk about my problems with parking, although we have talked about that in church before. No, today what I want to talk about is what I actually just did and what I actually just shared. What I actually want to talk about today is the importance of us being vulnerable with one another in sharing some of our insecurities, in sharing some of our fears, our worries, the things that we carry. Today I want to talk about the importance of vulnerability both with one another and especially with God. And it's a topic that I think is really important for us to walk through. And so today, we're going to be talking, as I said, about the power of vulnerability and the importance of opening up to God and those around you. And I want to do this because hopefully, whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, I think this will matter for all of us, because being vulnerable is actually a part about being human. That actually, you can't be truly human without being vulnerable with those who are around you. That the more we deny our vulnerability, the more we actually deny our humanity. And so I want to show you from Scripture today the importance of vulnerability, and I want to discuss how we can become vulnerable and how we might be able to actually grow in our vulnerability. And so to begin with, I want to share with you why I'm talking about vulnerability, then we're going to define it, and then we're going to explore it theologically. And as always, we come here not just to learn new things, but hopefully be transformed into new people. And so to begin, I want to share with you why I think we should be talking about vulnerability here today. And well, today, if it's your first time with us, it's actually a great time to be the first time here with us, because today I'm going to share a little bit about our values. That we here at Bethany have three core values that guide everything that we do. And they are grace, vulnerability, and discipleship. Those are the three things that kind of lead us into the places that God would have us to go. So they are vulnerability, grace, and discipleship. And we've already spent 6 weeks on grace over the last little while. And so today we want to share about vulnerability. We're also going to talk about it next week as well. And then we're going to talk about discipleship to start off the new year in January, which I know might seem far away, but it's actually not that far away actually at all. And so I think it's important for us to talk about vulnerability here in church, because this is really a part of our DNA and our guiding. And every church, this is just true, every church has certain ways of doing things, certain ways of being in the world, certain ways of following Jesus. And some churches, they prioritize things like judgment or rules or perhaps compliance. Other churches maybe emphasize things like justice, action, or knowledge. Some also emphasize things like worship, singing, relevance, or generosity. But what ends up happening is this, is whatever is the core of a church ends up guiding that church and how they look and feel in the world. This is why, although most churches, and this is kind of true and kind of funny at the same time or ironic, most churches believe almost 99% of the same things, actually. That especially in Protestant Christianity, we agree on a huge, vast amount, more than we actually disagree on. But actually what changes a church to look and feel different than other churches isn't the beliefs, it's the values that shape those beliefs, or the values that actually shape how those beliefs are held in the world. And so this is why, if you're ever checking out churches, it's important not to just be asking what do they believe, it's important to be asking what are their actual values that shape those beliefs. This is why, for us, it's really important that we are crystal clear that we believe in grace, vulnerability, and discipleship, because this shapes how each of our beliefs here are held. And so this is why we want to talk about it, because it's important for us here as a church, because it's a part of our DNA, and it's a part of our values, and it's a part of who we are. And so next, what is vulnerability then? Well, Brené Brown defines vulnerability this way. She says this, vulnerability is uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure. Right? It's emotional exposure. It's about showing up without guarantees, allowing ourselves to be fully seen, which is why the Oxford Dictionary puts it this way, that vulnerability is the quality or state of being exposed to the possibility of being attacked or harmed, either physically or emotionally. It's about being open and honest and in some way being exposed. Or to put it more simply, here's how I would like to define it, that vulnerability is the courage to be seen as we truly are. The vulnerability is the courage to be seen as we truly are. And this is a hard thing to do, especially in our day and age, in our world. Our world loves to say we put forward our best selves always. Our world often likes us to curate who we are for those who are around us, that it's hard for us to be open and honest. But it's really, really important. Because without vulnerability, you would not have things like love, trust, relationships, art, creativity. Or without vulnerability, you can't even have faith. And I really do believe what I said, that vulnerability is essential for faith. Vulnerability is essential for faith. That real relationships require vulnerability for connection. So there's no way you can connect to God while you're being closed off and distant and all of that if you're not willing to actually be open and honest with him. So what this means for us is that if we're going to grow closer to God, we need to actually grow by opening up to him. And so today what I want to do is I want to explore vulnerability theologically. And I want to take a look at Genesis 1 and 2. And also we're going to take a look at Psalm 62. And we're going to see how we were created for vulnerability and how God invites us to be open with him. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Genesis 1 and 2 to begin with. Now, Genesis 1 and 2 is a really important section of Scripture for many different reasons. But one of the reasons it's most important, Genesis 1 and 2, is it gives a glimpse into what the world was like kind of pre-sin. That we believe here in something that's called total depravity. I want to be clear with what this means. Total depravity means theologically, not that everybody sucks and everything is terrible in the world. That is not what total depravity means. What total depravity means is instead that everything is actually distorted or marred by sin. That obviously in our world, there are many, many good things in our world, and there are many, many good people. Things like Taco Bell's Crunchwrap Supreme is an excellent thing that is within our world, okay? Other things that are great within our world are Ed Sheeran's hair, and also the Blue Jays, who are currently in the World Series and are playing if you're into that, which I totally am. Woo! One person likes the Blue Jays. It's fantastic. Maybe we're more of a hockey, maybe more of a hockey church, but we'll see. So what I want to be clear with is that there are good things in our world, but total depravity means that even the good things, like Taco Bell, okay, even the good things are marred or distorted by sin. So much so that there is nothing that is left out of the pollution of sin. That's what total depravity actually means. It means that everything is distorted or marred or tainted by sin. And so this is really important for us because in Genesis 2, what we're going to see is how we are created before the taint and distortion of sin. And so I want to read to you some verses starting in verse 21. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up there or it's going to come on the screen behind me. And so I want to read them to you, but I also want to take a look at them in and through kind of the lens of vulnerability. So we read this. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last the man exclaimed, "This one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man." And this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but listen to this, but they felt no shame. So the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. Now there's lots that we could take a look at in this passage, lots that we could comment on, but I want to take a look at specifically that last verse where it says that now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. That we could read here, this verse at purely the physical level and that they just weren't wearing clothing or something like that. But most ancient interpreters, and I would agree, interpret this as actually being something bigger than just about physicality. That's actually about emotional intimacy. It's actually about relational connection. That when it says the man and his wife were both naked but felt no shame, it's actually talking about that they had vulnerability together. Notice with me the writer says that the names are feelings. It says that they felt no shame. So this isn't about clothing, but their inner worlds. That in essence, they were exposed, but they didn't feel any guilt, shame, anxiety, or worry over that. They were vulnerable and completely okay with being vulnerable with one another. That what I want us to notice here, just right off the bat, starting in Genesis 2, is that vulnerability seems to be something that Adam and Eve were actually created for and with. That vulnerability isn't a flaw or a glitch in the system. It's a part of the very essence of what it means to be human. As Brené Brown puts it, she says, vulnerability is the core, the heart, and the center of meaningful human experiences. And I believe that she's right because we were actually created for vulnerability. We were created to be vulnerable with one another and with God. That in the beginning, when Adam and Eve were created pre-sin, it says that they were naked and they felt no shame. They did not feel any distance between one another. There was a connection. There was intimacy. There was oneness. There was this togetherness. That what I want us to notice here in Genesis 2 is simply that we were created with and for vulnerability. Let's move over one more chapter to Genesis 3. And what we're going to see in Genesis 3 is that part of what ends up happening is that sin wrecks that emotional connection that is there. It starts to create shame and feelings of insecurity and a desire to hide ourselves. And so I want to read to you the relevant sections in Genesis 3, starting in verse 6, and then we're going to unpack it just briefly here today. We read this, that the woman was convinced. She saw the tree that was beautiful, and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give to her. So she took some of the fruit, and she ate it, and she gave it to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. And then the Lord God called down to the man, "Where are you?" And he replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." And here, you don't need a theology degree to see how things have changed since Genesis 2. That Adam and Eve are no longer feeling comfortable being open and exposed, and they cover themselves. They hide themselves quite literally. First they make clothing, and then they hide themselves from God. That all of a sudden what we notice in this passage really clearly, if we just pay attention, is that vulnerability seems to be wrecked. Vulnerability seems to be gone. That vulnerability seems to be marred or distorted in some way because of the sin that they both transgressed in. That what we see in this text is rather than Adam feeling love, closeness, and an openness with God, there is fear and distance and hiding. He says at the end, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." And this is something that sin has brought into the world, that now we often have fear-based reactions with God. We worry about his rejection of us, or we worry that he might be too angry with us, that we hide ourselves, we cover ourselves, we screen ourselves. That what was lost in the after effects of sin is vulnerability with God and with one another. That's what was lost in the after effects of sin, vulnerability with God and with one another. And we can see this really clearly in verse 10, where we read this, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." Now, don't answer this question too quickly, but think about this for a moment. When Adam is talking with God right now, is he actually naked in the story and in this passage right at this point in verse 10? And the answer is no. He's actually sewn together fig leaves and he's made clothing of some sort. So no, he's not naked. He's actually covered in some way, shape, or form. Which means that when he says, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked," he's not simply talking about a clothing problem. That's not what's going on here. It's much deeper than that, actually. He's talking about that there is lost innocence, lost intimacy, and lost vulnerability. That when he says he was naked, this is a metaphor for something deeper that was lost than just clothing. If it was just a clothing problem, that can be easily fixed. Clothes, done, move on. But that's not what's going on here. Instead, what is lost because of sin is the fact that Adam and Eve no longer are vulnerable with one another, and they certainly are not vulnerable with God. They have a fear-based reaction to God. They are hiding from him. They are unsure of him. They have insecurity around him, that their vulnerability with him is something that has been damaged and distorted. And I think that this happens for many of us. For many of us, that we end up building walls and masks in this world of ours. That we long for human connection, but fear of being truly open with one another is really hard. It's hard to be open and vulnerable with other people, because when you do that, you are opening yourselves up or exposing yourself up to hurt, to potentially be hurt by somebody else. And this is what has happened because of Adam and Eve and because of sin. That when sin enters the world, what ends up happening is vulnerability gets lost, intimacy gets harder, and honesty gets a little bit murkier. And I know this very, very personally, that we here believe in being vulnerable with one another, and we seek to practice being vulnerable. This is why, from the stage, I often share with you about my own life, not just because I want you to get to know with me, but because I actually think that it matters. And often, when I share about my own life, I have a moment of, ooh, should I say this? I get a little bit worried. I get a little bit nervous. Even saying things that I struggle with, like anxiety and parking and my love of Taco Bell, all of these things are small things, but they can actually make me nervous in even just sharing them. Or to go one layer deeper, when I share sometimes things that are a little bit deeper, how I struggle with things, especially with wondering if I'm enough, if I'm a good enough dad, good enough pastor, good enough, you know, whatever it might be. These are things I struggle with. When I share with them, there's always this almost second guessing that comes. And this second guessing that comes from that, I think, is really because of the fall and because of sin. That we struggle with being open and trusting with other people and actually being real and authentic with those around us. But this is what we need to do if we are going to actually be able to grow closer to God and to one another. There is no way to have true, deep relationships without vulnerability being a part of them. This is why, for us, vulnerability is a core value. It's not just that we love being vulnerable, because that's a hard work, actually. What we love is relationships, and we know that deep relationships are built on vulnerability. You can't have a close relationship with someone if you are unwilling to practice vulnerability with that person. And that goes true for our spouses, for our kids, for our family, our friends, and also especially with God. So growing in maturity requires vulnerability with God. And I want to show you how we're actually called to be vulnerable with God as well. So if you have your Bibles, I want to turn from Genesis 2 and 3, where we see really that vulnerability is a part of who we are made to be. I want to show you from Psalm 62 how we are called to be vulnerable with God, even though it can be difficult, even though it can be scary at times, and even though we might want to be like Adam and we run and hide, but we are called to be vulnerable with him. I want to show you this from Psalm 62. I want to begin reading in verse 5. We read this. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. There's some beautiful verses here in Psalm 62. It says that God alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor comes from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. And this is a really beautiful piece of scripture where we get lots of practical advice about waiting to God, about trusting in him, about the fact that he is our rock and our refuge. But I really want to focus in on verse 8 here today. It's a verse that I think is really important for us if we are going to follow Christ. It's important for us if we're going to practice vulnerability. We read this. O my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Let me read that again. O my people, trust in God at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. And I want to ask one obvious question about this text. Is it possible to practice this text without being vulnerable? Listen again what it says. It says, O my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him. There is no way that we can pour out our heart to God unless we are actually open and vulnerable with him. That the simple answer to that question, can we practice this without being vulnerable, is no. And while it might sound simple, it's also obvious that the truth is to have faith, to grow in faith, to be a person of faith, actually requires vulnerability with God. That to grow in faith and to have faith requires a vulnerability with God. That we cannot pour out our hearts to God while remaining standoffish. We cannot place our trust in God while remaining completely in control and closed off. That we cannot grow closer with God while remaining disconnected and not exposed. That part of our faith is vulnerability with God. Parker Palmer is a really wise writer, and he once wrote this. He said, the deeper our faith, the more open and vulnerable we become. Anyone want to say amen to that? Right? Think about that. The deeper our faith, the more open and vulnerable we become. The more trusting in God we are, the more we're okay with being open, the more we're okay like being like Genesis 2 rather than Genesis 3. That rather than hiding and sewing up fig leaves and covering ourselves and actually being insecure with God, the closer we get to him, the more we are called to open ourselves up to him fully, really laying bare all that we hold, all that we might worry about, all that we carry. That God here in this passage is reminding us of how important it is to actually pour out our hearts to him and to have vulnerability with him. That you cannot grow closer to God while remaining closed off from God. That simply isn't possible. You cannot grow closer to him while remaining closed off from him. Or as the psalm or the text puts it, O my people, trust in God at all times. Listen to that verse. Trust in God at all times. Not just in good times. Not just when everything is going well. Not just when everything seems to be going right. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. And we see this actually pouring out of our hearts towards God throughout the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is really the prayer book of the people of God. And what we often read are what are called Psalms of Lament. Did you know that in the Bible, it's very, very clear that you can share anything and everything with God, even things that seem quite offensive to God, that you can pour out your heart to him. And we have what are called Psalms of Lament, where people just pour out the most raw and kind of real things to God. I want to read to you a few Psalms of Lament, and they're just a few different verses from a few different psalms. Listen to what some of the psalmists say. In Psalm 22, we have a good example of a Psalm of Lament. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan from help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. Did you know you could be that honest with God? Listen to what that writer is saying. Every day I call to you, but you do not answer. Anybody ever prayed and felt like God did not answer? Right? Thank goodness that you are not alone, right? That the psalmist and even our own scriptures teach us and allow us to actually say those things to God, to not to just hold them in. Another example of a lament psalm is this. Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? That's Psalm 13, verse 1. Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Anybody ever felt that they were just missed by God for a while? That seems like he wasn't paying attention to what's going on in your life. Right? We can bring those feelings. We can bring all of that to God. Or in Psalm 88, this is one more example of a lament psalm. We read this. Oh Lord, I cry out to you. I keep on pleading day by day. Oh Lord, why do you reject me? Why do you turn my face from me? That you can be open to God with the good things, the bad things, and every single thing in between. This is what the Psalms teach us. And what we learn here really clearly is that if we are created for vulnerability, and I believe we were, and I believe we are, that's what Genesis 2 and 3 teach. If we're created for vulnerability, and then God asks us to be vulnerable with him, where he says, pour out your hearts to him, that there is nothing we need to hide from God. We can pour it all out to him. God wants to be a part of everything. He wants to be a part of our doubts, our worries, our things that we carry, our heaviness, our burdens. He wants to know it all. And we know this not only from the Psalms, but also from the example of Christ. That Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he actually prays to God and he says this, Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. That Jesus was wide open and vulnerable with God as well. And I think if Jesus was wide open and vulnerable with God, guess what? I think we should be as well. Amen? We need to actually be open with him. Or as the text for today teaches us, oh, my people, trust in God at all times. Pour out your heart to him. God is our refuge. God is our refuge, and we can be open and we can be honest with him. So what does this mean for us all here today? Well, today, what I hope to show you from Scripture is really just two different things. The first thing is that we are created for vulnerability, that we are created with vulnerability, that it's not a flaw in the world, it's actually what we are called to grow into as we grow closer to Christ. And that's secondly what I hope to show you today, is that we are called to be vulnerable with God. And then that maturity in discipleship is demonstrated really by a depth of vulnerability with God and with others. This is what a mature disciple looks like. I don't think we often think of this way, but if you want to know if somebody is actually quite mature in following God, there should be a depth of vulnerability in their life. And I want to be clear with this. We're going to talk about this next week. We're going to talk about being open and vulnerable with others. That being open and vulnerable with others doesn't mean you share everything you're going through with every single person, right? That is not what we're talking about. That is called verbal streaking. That's what that is, okay? And it's not healthy and it's not helpful. Or as Brené Brown puts it, she says this. She says, vulnerability is based on mutuality and requires boundaries and trust. It's not oversharing, it's not purging, it's not indiscriminate disclosure, and it's certainly not celebrity-style social media information dumps. Vulnerability is about sharing our feeling and experiences with people who have earned the right to hear them. Amen? Who have earned the right to hear them. And I know this is a simple thought, but stay with me. I think it also is a beautiful thought. The one person who has earned the right to hear everything that has gone on in our lives is Jesus Christ, amen? He has earned that right to hear what we are carrying. He can be trusted with what we are carrying. We can be open and vulnerable with him with what we are carrying. This is what I want to invite you into today. I want to invite you into remembering that Jesus has earned the right to hear where you are, to hear where you are at, both the good things and the bad, the things you are ashamed of and the things that you celebrate, the things that are weighing you down and the things that are lifting you up. These are all things that we can share with God and share with Jesus Christ. So what is my main point this morning? My main point is really simple, that we are created for vulnerability and we are called to be vulnerable with God first and foremost. That's my main point here today. We are created for vulnerability and we are called to be vulnerable with God first and foremost. But practically, what does this mean then for us? Well, today, what I want to challenge you with, I want to be upfront with this, what I want to challenge you with is to be vulnerable with God, sharing with him what you need. That's my challenge for us here today, to be vulnerable with God, sharing with him what you need. And I could today just kind of end the sermon there and say for all of you to go home and to practice this. And that would be okay, I think. But what I know from my life, and also is likely true in your life, anybody feel like their life is rather busy? Anybody else have that kind of struggle going on? And what I think might happen is if I gave you this challenge to just go home and be vulnerable with God, all of a sudden, even on a Sunday afternoon, things can kind of get in the way. Things might kind of push away our good intentions. So instead today, what I want to do is I actually want to give us time and space right here and right now to be vulnerable with God, for you to be able to share with him whatever it is that you might need. Some healing, some hope, some faith, some trust, a miracle. I don't know where you are at, but I know that what the next step for each of us is to actually open up with God with what it is that we are carrying. That, as I shared with you a few weeks ago, I've been just really feeling the last couple months have been heavy and hard. Anyone else been feeling that their life has just been heavy and hard the last little while? That's where I've been. And so for me, to pour out my heart to God means to name that and then to share with him that I'm looking for strength, I'm looking for a miracle, I'm looking for breakthroughs in my life, that these are the things that I need to be open with him if I want to see him move within my life. What I want to invite you to do is to do the same thing, is to just do what I just did and to share with God how you are looking for him to move in your life. So to close today, what we're going to do is we're going to give us a few moments to simply sit and to be still with God. To actually just sit and to open ourselves up to him. To really take this passage seriously where it says, O my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. And we want to give you a few moments just to actually pour out your heart to God so that you might be able to be a little bit like Adam and go to God and share, here's where I am at. And so today, this is my challenge. It's to risk being vulnerable with God, sharing with him what you need. And so we're going to give you just a few moments here this morning before closing together in a song and inviting you just to practice what this verse teaches, where it says, pour out your heart to God, for God is our refuge. I want to invite you to do that here this morning. So would you join with me in prayer before we take a few moments to pour our hearts out to God? Let's pray. God, today, I ask, wherever we might be at, would we have the courage and the vulnerability with you to pour out our hearts to you? To share with you, God, what we are carrying, to share with you, God, what we are hoping for, to share with you, God, what we are dreaming and needing in our lives. I pray for all of those whose lives are just feel heavy and just difficult at this moment. I pray, would we be able to name those things to you, God, and would you move in miraculous ways? I also pray, God, for those of us whose lives are going well, might we be able to pour out to you all the reasons why we are celebrating or all the reasons why we are grateful. I pray that as we come into this moment and this time of just being with you, would we open up our hearts to you, and would we be willing to risk being vulnerable with you, pouring our hearts out to him, because you are our refuge. And I pray this all in the wonderful name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.